Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Keyshawn. Keyshawn Johnson.
I used to have to pick up Popeye's chicken for Keyshawn.
One of the NFL's most respected analysts.
Morning, Keyshawn. How you doing? It's been a little while, but it's great to hear your voice. Nobody knows what's going on more than you do.
And one of the game's most charismatic stars ever.
Shut your ass up! Play football! Shut your ass up!
ESPN's Keyshawn Johnson joins Dale and Keefe.
Cam Newton still sucks, see? Brady would have
scored. Now on WEEI.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is ESPN NFL analyst and former NFL wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn is sponsored by Zuti. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. You can hear Keyshawn every morning on ESPN Radio's morning show. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, as well as on ESPN's NFL Live program, which airs weeknights from 4 to 5 p.m. Good morning, Keyshawn. How are you?
Geez, that intro makes me sound like I'm halfway crazy.
That's all right. That's nothing wrong with that.
Who were you talking about with the fake-ass John Randall? Was it Chris Hovan, the guy that used to do the eye black? Or who was that? Do you remember?
It was somebody from, like, the Cincinnati Bengals or something. He was screaming and hollering after making a tackle or, you know, just acting, I don't know. And I just was in one of those moods, like, shut up, man. You like, dude, your number, the number that you wear alone is a problem. That means that you're probably not going to be here long.
Hey, we've had this discussion now for a couple of days. Based on what you've seen so far, how has Cam Newton played at quarterback?
Fine. I mean, he's
come
been
on,
fine.
Keyshawn.
You didn't even let me finish.
Well, as soon as you said fine, I went, really?
He's been fine up until Sunday when he's been off because of COVID. Prior to that, I didn't see anything wrong with his game. Did you?
He hadn't thrown the ball well at all.
Yeah, he made some bad decisions against the Raiders, too, pre-COVID, where the shine might be off his Seattle performance.
I think I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. The Seattle performance, the Miami performance, and who was before that, or who was after Seattle?
It was the Raiders.
Yeah, Vegas.
And then he didn't play against Kansas City, and then obviously the Sunday.
So you don't agree? We've taken consecutive callers who said it's time to play Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah, I know. So ahead, see how that worked out for you. You better,
I don't
better sit down somewhere.
I don't love that. But Keyshawn,
he had a bad game last week. Okay, so what? It's one game. The guy was sick. Okay, he was in quarantine for however many days. They only got a certain amount of practices in. All of the sort of things that you would see from a quarterback that's been sitting around, really not doing anything. Right? I mean, yeah, you didn't see Tannehill because Tannehill wasn't sitting around. Tannehill had an opportunity to throw, to come in and out of the facilities, do things. Cam Newton was away from his team, isolated. Then they finally get clearance. Then all of a sudden they got to shut it down again and open it up and shut it down and open it up and shut it down. It just, you know, but people are never satisfied. They're never satisfied. Fans are fans for a reason. And as the coaches like to say, the moment you start listening to fans, you'll soon be sitting with them.
even with the lack of practice time, I think they only had two and maybe a walkthrough as well, you know, in the 2 weeks leading up to the Broncos game. Should they still have been able to beat Denver?
The defense played well. The defense played well. They kicked field goals. You know, you want the Patriots because you've been there. You want them to have been able to just beat Denver like that. But it doesn't work like that in the NFL, man. You know, you got to be on your game every single week, or at least 75% of your game. They just didn't play well. It's one loss. They didn't play well, and they got an opportunity this week to clean it up and get back at it. I'm not worried about the Patriots winning the division. I'm not worried about them making a strong run into the playoffs. I'm not.
There are a lot of questions about the Patriots pass catchers, tight ends, wide receivers. They have a first-round wide receiver in his second season who was targeted twice, didn't catch a single pass. I'm wondering, do you believe in the idea that maybe Josh McDaniels needs to find specific ways to get the ball to N'Keal Harry and just see what he can do with his athleticism?
I think they are trying to get him in football. They're not force-feeding him. Well, Julian Edelman, you know, got banged up in that game and left the game. It changed a little bit. N'Keal Harry probably has to show more consistency, whether he's in practice or whether it's in games, for them to be able to say, okay, we're just going to feature you. I just remember when Bill Parcells and Belichick took over the Jets, and in 1997, they didn't hand the keys to the car to me immediately. They had me rotating for like the first three or four games. And believe me, I was pissed off, but I made them stop the rotation. And that was by performing in practice and performing in the game. And then the rest was history. And I think that's what N'Keal Harry has to do. Whenever he gets the opportunities, he's have to make the most of them. And so far, he hasn't really necessarily done that. But he's only been in the league 9 games, man. You know, it's 9 games, 2 different quarterbacks. He was hurt all of last year, and he's only played 5 games this year. Or what, is it 5 or 4? They played 5, right?
5,
yeah. Yeah, they played 5.
Yeah. He's only played, what, 9 games total in his NFL career?
It's a little more than that.
I think it's 12,
I get your point.
But basically the same. Yep.
Is it 12? I mean, I don't really know the
13.
Number.
I think he played 7 or 8 last year.
Majority of the season last year.
Right. He missed the first half of the season. He was on IR. Then he came back and he played.
So you're not willing to call him a bust?
In 12 games?
What's the number then, Keyshawn? Because I'm with you. If it's not 12 games, when do you have a fair assessment of a player?
He doesn't bark as a puppy. What does he do as a dog? Wasn't that a Parcells thing? Didn't he have something about that?
Yeah, but I would probably, if it's me, I'm looking at him into his second year. His first year, the second year, show me a little something. Third year, you need to be embarking up on Pro Bowl status. And by your fourth year, you need to be a Pro Bowler. And if you're not showing me those signs, now I got to cut bait. But the first year, second year, a little progress, make some plays, catch about 45 balls, 700 yards. You know, a couple touchdowns in key games, big catches. Third year, take that next giant leap. Fourth year, you need to be a Pro Bowler. Or else I got to figure out how to do something else with you.
We're talking to ESPN analyst Keyshawn Johnson. As an NFL wide receiver, you lived this. It seemed like, it's around here anyway, if a pass play doesn't work, it's always the wide receiver's fault. It's never the quarterback's fault. As a wide receiver, did that drive you nuts?
No, see, it didn't. You're talking to a different animal now. I wasn't going to sit up there and take the blame for something that I wasn't doing it. Because I don't hold quarterbacks to high regards like everybody else. I don't play that game. You know, you're not going to be praised for when we do well, but not vilified when we don't, and blame placed on everybody else. I'm not, if you're that fragile, you shouldn't be playing football. You know, and that's the way I've always approached it. If you know anything about me, I don't give a damn if it's next to his name and says QB. I could care less if it was Tom Brady, Joe Montana, anybody else. When you mess up, you need to take onus up on why it didn't work, opposed to just leaving your teammates out, hung out to dry.
This weekend,
it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
See, that's why I would be the wrong. I'm the wrong example for stuff like that. Like I said, I don't give a damn who it is. You're not about to have people out there thinking I can't play football.
Patriots playing the 49ers this weekend, so it'll be Bill Belichick coaching against Jimmy Garoppolo, of course, the guy who was on the team for a handful of years. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did you play, when you were in Tampa your last year, did you play against Bill Parcells when he was with Dallas then?
Yeah, then I got traded to Dallas.
Then you ended up going to Dallas. But what was that like? Obviously, Jimmy and Bill had quite a relationship. You and Bill Parcells had quite a relationship. But after playing him for him for so many years, and before you were reunited, what was that like going up against him that week?
It was fun. Obviously, I pissed Gruden off. he didn't like the fact that I praised Coach Parcells, you know, in the media leading up to that week. A reporter asked me, you know, who's the best coach I ever played for? And, you know, me and Keyshawn Fashion, I said, Bill Parcells, and I didn't even win a Super Bowl with him. and so that was just that really burned him up. And then before the game, you know, before the coin toss and all that, you know, went over to Bill as they did the starting lineups, went over, gave him a big giant hug on the sideline. So, you know, it was fun, though. It was fun to see him try to defend me because he thought he knew me. I don't know how many catches I had in the game, but I had a couple or whatever. You know, he thought he knew how to defend me because he had me before. But, you know, I still had a decent game, I believe.
Along those lines, do you think Rob Gronkowski heard Bill Belichick's comments this week about George Kittle saying he's as good or better than any tight end he's ever coached or coached against?
Well, he's had some pretty good ones. Whether it's Mark Bavaro, I believe he had Ozzie Newsome, late Ozzie Newsome in Cleveland. I believe he did. I could be wrong.
I think he retired right after a year with Belichick or something like that.
Okay, so that's two. He's had the late Aaron Hernandez. He's had Gronkowski. He had Benjamin Watson. He had Ben Coates. I mean, like, is there something wrong with him saying that?
No, I think some people up here took it as maybe a shot directed at
Gronk. Oh, God. The people in Boston are always taking stuff and running with it.
That's it.
Stop worrying about those things.
Hey, we got 4 hours to fill here. Can you relax?
Well, no, I mean, it's like, okay, so if he doesn't say anything, then he doesn't like you. And if he says something, he doesn't like. He can't win.
That's it.
Like, he can't win.
You've nailed it.
Welcome to Boston.
That's right. Yeah. That's it.
I mean, it's like, geez. See, I'm from L.A. We're laid back. We're calm. We're just chill. The beach is nice. It's clear skies. We don't get all depressed over all. No, man, we chill.
Wait a minute.
Y'all up there, y'all go crazy.
It's cold.
The moment that somebody says, and don't agree with you, you just go,
yeah,
and just lose it.
Wait a minute. We just played a cut of you calling some guy a cheap-ass John
fake-ass
Randall.
John Randall.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You're not chill.
You wrote a book that said, just give me the damn ball.
The difference is I was playing football, so I was highly emotional at the time.
Well, this is our football,
you know,
Sean.
That's
we don't
where
have
that clip comes from. I was playing football.
Right.
Y'all ain't playing football. Y'all
that's
just
true.
Doing sports talk radio, and callers are calling, and fans are being fans.
It's our football.
It's emotional.
So the Patriots and Niners Sunday at 4:25. Who do you like and why?
I still like the Patriots. I think they get back in their groove. As long as they don't have any positive tests and they got to close down the building, I think as long as they get their preparation in and their practice, I think they should win the football game. Although Jimmy G did play well against the Rams, and the Rams are a good football team. But I think New England, I think, the way that Belichick defends West Coast offensive systems, he kind of knows what Jimmy G is about, what makes him tick. It's always a plus to have a coach or coaches on your staff who's coaching against a guy who can give those little bitty details. And players on the team could also say, hey, if you get near him, he'll do this. If you do this, he'll do that. That's always a plus. I think Cam gets back on track. And I just think New England gets back on track. Now, if New England doesn't get on track, then next Monday when we had a conversation, the conversation will be different. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it might. Mm-hmm. Keyshawn, we always appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right, buds. Go See Lakers.
Ya. Yeah, I'll believe.
And Dodgers.
Well, screw you.
I know. Thanks, Keyshawn.
All right. And we, hey, look. What? And we didn't even have to cheat to get to the World Series.
All right, enough. Hang up, Dale. Hang up on this guy.
Needed our player, though, to do it.
That's
yeah.
the point.
Yeah.
By the way, that Bucks-Cowboys game when Keyshawn went up against Bill Parcells, the Bucks won 16-0. Keyshawn only had one catch in the game, but it was a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And so both teams were pretty
good.
That
would be considered a pretty good game, right?
Pretty cool story, though, that he was asked that week who's the best coach he's ever played for. This is coming off of a Super Bowl with John Gruden. He's like, Parcells.
I wonder if he actually said, and I didn't even win a Super Bowl.
I bet he did.
I bet he did.
It would
be a good sound bite to find.
I'm sure he did.
By the way, he's a little cocky about L.A., and I understand that.
Yeah.
But isn't the number one sports town in America right now Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay's got the
Stanley Cup
are.
Championship. Going to the World Series. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are 4-2.
This decides it because you have the NBA champ in L.A., you have the hockey champ in Tampa, and now the baseball champ is going to be one or the other. That's kind of crazy.
And the possibility that the Super Bowl champion could be in Tampa as well. Yeah. I don't
think
the Super
Bowl champion will definitely be in Tampa.
It will be. Yeah, I get it.
That's where they play the game. Wonga, wonga.
Great stuff.
Screw you. So Keyshawn's trying to sell us on the fact that he is cool, calm, collected, laid back.
Chill on.
But not on the football field.
Please.
Or when he writes a book or in the media.
Yeah.
Like during his career, during the week, you're not on a football field. And he was a, quote, he was a pop-off. He was a back-and-forth kind of guy. That's not the same as, I could see for actually 60 minutes on a field, 3 hours, that you're emotional and what I say there, don't hold that against me or to me either way.
He also sounds like Wiggy. Cam Newton's been fine. Cam Newton's been, he had one bad game, but he was sick. It's like, actually, he was asymptomatic. He wasn't sick at all.
Now, he didn't get to practice. If you wanted to say he couldn't practice,
you can use that.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
And he wasn't that good against the Raiders.
No, he wasn't.
Kind of left that one out.
Right, and even the Miami game, like he ran well. I'm convinced he can run well. That's one thing.
Yeah,
I
the
know
ankle,
he can
the
do.
Ankle's fine. I'm not sure the shoulder is.
Yeah. Their best offensive weapon or scariest offensive weapon is when he runs the ball.
When he runs, especially when you have the O line, if it gets back to any close to health.
Yes, David Andrews. Come on.
Yes. But even then, like the biggest plays in the game on Sunday were him running the ball. The only touchdown in the entire game was him running the ball.
It looks like to win, you need him to rush for at least 75 yards and score a touchdown. That's like the start of a formula to somehow win a football game.
And that's a formula to not win in the National Football League.
I would agree, Dale, because
in this day and age,
like
you aren't winning.
Big throws at some point, big plays. Like the perfect example was the Patriots Super Bowl run in 18.
Oh, yeah.
Where they ran the ball, but you won because Brady and Gronk. Against the Chiefs, they would make big throws at key times.
Because I look at the three really good running teams from a year ago that are all right back at it again this year. Two out of the three, I should say, are right back at it. And that would be Tennessee, Baltimore, and San Francisco. They all ran really well last year, and they were three of the best teams. Now, none of them won it. It was the Chiefs that won it. And I think the point we're talking about is if Jimmy Garoppolo makes one big throw to Emmanuel Sanders in the Super Bowl, maybe it's a little bit different, and you can be a run-first team. Tennessee, though, Tannehill can make the throws when he needs to. You saw how the game, they were losing to the Texans this weekend, and guess what? As good as Henry was, based on the time and the clock, they needed to throw to win the game. And Tannehill hit A.J. Brown in the end zone, something that Newton should be able to do to N'Keal Harry, but nobody has any faith in that. And then you look at even Baltimore.
Keyshawn said, give N'Keal 4 years before we decide whether he's
good. Not around here.
No,
I can't just toss out all these games. And especially when... And again, not N'Keal Harry's fault, but we're always.
But he also thought he had only played 5 games. So.
Yeah, he's played 12 and a playoff game, so he's played 13 games.
He's played almost a full season.
Right. But A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf and others, if you want, but let's talk about those two specifically, were not two, like, diamonds in the rough. It wasn't Antonio Brown in the 6th round out of Central Michigan. These were two stud guys that were in the SEC, that Belichick always drafts SEC guys.
Yep.
They were both second-round picks. And they were all projected to go ahead of N'Keal Harry, and they're all better now. I know they've played a few more games because they didn't start the year on IR, but it's pretty close to the same. And I just, oh my god!
The most damning thing I saw about N'Keal Harry was a tweet ripping the Eagles, who have no wide receivers, for all the receivers they've passed on in the last 2 years, and it listed it.
And poor N'Keal Harry wasn't even included in the list of guys that could help them.
Yeah, it's not the list.
Yeah, that's a slap in the face.
Yeah. 617-779-7937. Bob's in New Hampshire. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. Great.
Super.
Hey, I was calling, wondering. I had called you guys some time back, and I had said, everyone knows everything. I don't, but I just said, I think reality has settled in. I think the Bruins aren't going to be what we think. That seems to have happened. The Red Sox, anybody could have predicted that. Celtics, and now here we are now watching the Patriots. If this does continue to go like everything else, let's just say the season ends, it's not well. Who would you predict out of the four teams at some point will come back to first to be somewhat, maybe not always winning, but not what we're looking at now?
Celtics.
I was just curious.
I would say Celtics. Bob. And yeah, again.
Especially when they get Giannis.
And I would say Bruins because it's what I do.
I told you Boston Sports Radio's back. I told you it's back.
That was good.
Start Stidham and all the teams suck.
Well, I mean,
back-to-back calls.
They don't all suck.
No, they don't.
You could argue
the Bruins and Celtics did not suck.
No, but you could argue they underachieved.
The Red Sox did.
Right. The Red Sox, forget them.
The Bruins, to me, got worse this offseason, and they still have a Tampa Bay Lightning problem.
Yes. Yep.
Whereas the Celtics.
Now, the Tampa Bay Lightning, by the way, are going to have a real hard time.
They're going to lose a couple guys, too.
They're losing. Sure. They are not going to get better in this offseason. They're going to get worse.
The Celtics, I don't think, are going to get worse. The question is, how much better can they get? Like, again, they're right up against it at the cap, where they're over the cap, and they sort of have the guys coming back, and you're once again hoping for a Gordon Hayward healthy season, which you just may never get. But you could realistically say Tatum and Brown are going to be even better next year. Like, that's
sure.
That's not crazy to say. And who knows what happens? Like, Goran Dragic is a free agent with the Heat. There's a bunch of question marks with a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference. I know the Bucks right now are saying they're not going to trade Giannis, but guess what? Right before you trade somebody, you usually say you're not going to trade them. So
that story in and of itself could derail the Bucks a little bit. Just the uncertainty of
everything.
Now,
I know it was a weird situation and it was the bubble, but they were rolling regular season, then they get in there and they looked awful in the playoffs, and they still have never people have kind of anointed Milwaukee as the team in the East, but they've never even made a finals appearance with Giannis. So,
and then go to the West. Like, LeBron's not getting any younger, right? So the Lakers are no certainty.
And guess what? I'm hoping, fingers crossed, next year you don't have 6 months off before the playoffs. And LeBron doesn't get to rest, and you don't have road games.
Just
and all
back
that
to that sham title.
I'm back. But no, it's definitely out of the four teams. To me, it's definitely the Celtics have the best chance to compete for a title.
And I think that we've had such an unparalleled 2 decades of success here.
Yeah.
Did we think it was going to continue on forever?
Yeah. The tone of that call was a little bit like, "Well, we're back to where they always disappoint us." All four teams, they get to a certain point and they fall in their face.
This isn't the early '90s where you were just every team was actually the Bruins weren't bad, but the other teams were garbage.
Right. It's you have very, very good reason to be optimistic, at least for 3 of the teams. Like, and I'm not saying to win the title,
right?
But to be competitive, to be in the hunt.
Bruins will be competitive. Right. The Celtics will absolutely be competitive.
You'll care.
Right now, the Patriots, I think the latest power rankings that I saw this morning, they're around 11, 12, somewhere in there. And that may seem high to me.
Yeah, the two winter sports teams are like roll out of bed playoff teams.
Yes.
The Patriots, I'm not counting out as a playoff team. And as bad as the Red Sox were, they were historically bad. Baseball, we've seen, even in Boston, worst to first. I'm by no means predicting first. I'm just saying we've seen teams look like Bobby Valentine, and then the next year you're like, holy smokes, we got a real contender on our hands. So I don't expect them to
be great shakes. When Alex Cora's named the new manager, this thing is going to turn around, baby.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what was that all about? Did you guys get to the bottom of that? I followed it loosely. What were all the tweets
the
and the Googles
emojis
and
the little
great day
hand
and prayer hand?
He's just like every player. He's
I
like
hate
every
him.
NBA
then
player.
I hate him.
Yeah,
then I hate him. I hate. Don't toy with me. Don't mess with me.
It was also his, I believe, his daughter's birthday over the weekend, and he might just have been talking about,
No. He knew what he was doing. Even if that's true, he knows it will be interpreted within the realm of the sports world. Put a little parenthetical. By the way, it's my daughter's birthday.
So, I know what you're doing now.
As soon as the World Series is over, we'll find out where he's going, right?
Here.
Probably.
Maybe you guys will have him on.
No, I think it'll be here.
Maybe you guys can have him on.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe he'll do all 3 shows. That'd be great. Make the rounds. Car wash. Have the WEEI car wash.
He's real good at that. I mean, he gives good media.
He is a good
media
he
does.
Yep.
Cam Newton and Cora, they're back, baby. That's those right. good interviews. Mm-hmm.
If Cam Newton's so here next year, because I'm not positive that's going
to
be
next year, Dale. Next week, if you listen to the
Matt
call.
Ryan Mondays.
yeah. John wants
shut
Ryan.
Up.
John wants Matt Ryan. And yeah. he laid out a pretty good plan to get him.
Did he? Didn't mention the salary cap, I heard.
He did.
According to some folks.
That's not what I heard
he
on
did.
Twitter.
He did.
Had I included the salary cap, the argument actually would have been stronger, I found out after the fact.
I know, the cap guy who was so
according
bad about
to certain
it
internet accountants.
Yeah. He actually helped us
out.
I have
to update
deal.
The column now. Give him a byline.
No, you don't. We don't need to see that column again.
You know, the cap guy contributed to the article at the bottom.
Move on to
way,
another piñata
by the way,
column.
Venmo him.
By the way, that's the WEEI.com comrade who's saying, no, we don't need to see
we
that
don't
column
need another
again.
One of those.
No, we're good.
Your two columns were Matt Ryan and Sony Michelle's awesome.
Well, the Matt Ryan one probably got clicks.
Wait till the one this week.
You got one?
Oh, like, I got one.
Because I actually look forward to these now.
It's probably how do they get Jimmy Garoppolo. That's my guess.
No.
How do they get
just
Jimmy?
Just the same thing, Keith. See, but he's not thinking like a columnist like you and
right.
I, Andy.
Yeah, why no. Peter King was right about the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, Shine diving in.
I'm not writing that.
Dolphins, AFC East champs?
You haven't chimed in on COVID. Maybe you could have a COVID take.
Oh, we know John's COVID take.
It's the opposite of Andy Hart's.
Yeah, pretty much.
Should I do an election column?
Yeah, why don't you? Why don't you do the Schefter? Yeah. November 3rd's a big day. Oh, it's free agency. I mean, trading deadline in the NFL.
They won't let us bet on the presidential election.
Don't bet on anything, Shime.
Are you going to do
ever again?
Unless it's Russian table tennis.
We're done. Yes, get back in on that or FC Slusk.
Yeah, FC Slusk.
Yeah.
Maybe
or
go
some
find
guy named
Russia
Sergey.
Dortmund.
Or some Sergey you could bet
Bayern
against.
Bayern Munich, maybe.
That was a good run you had.
617-779-7937. We get right back to your calls. Oh, Kiefer Madness. This is Tuesday, by the way.
Yes.
Kiefer Madness at 12:30.
Yes.
It's Dale and Keefe with Hart, and it's time to trend.
More of Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart. Feistiness and F-bombs.
Andy, will you let me talk for God's sake? Shut up for a minute.
On WEEI.
Day to day, Mike. We'll go day by day. Day to day. We are day to day on everything. So, you know, that's a little bit of a week-to-week question. As I said, we'll just take it day by day then. Right now, we're day by day. We're Tuesday. So we'll see where things are today on Tuesday and make decisions on Wednesday. It'll just be day by day.
Did you notice he even said day weird every time? We're day by day, day by day.
Day by day.
Tuesday.
This
Wednesday.
Was, that was this
Lord
morning, by the way. So
each day we pray.
This week's new philosophy, our on to Cincinnati is day to day.
Day
by day. Day to day. Week by week. Week to week. That was what Bill Belichick was going with today, which means whenever the players talk the rest of the week, you're going to hear that.
It's going to be I am going to like put that permanently in my cut and paste or something, have a thing in Word, so I don't have to type it. I can just press something day by day, day by day, because every player, day to day. Yeah. I know. We all live day by day. We're all like Rambo. Rambo
we
did
all
it.
All are.
Bill does it. We're all the same. What other way is there to live?
It's a good point.
Can't live tomorrow before I live today.
Uh-huh. So one of the things Bill Belichick has said in the past, and I remember Parcells once said to me, he says, Dale, if you give a player an excuse, they'll seize it every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And Belichick's always kind of lived that way himself, right?
He used
no
to.
No excuses.
For the most part, you know, unless to. You go to Mexico and you have to play with
well, but that had
plates.
He did
whatever,
it after
that,
they
oh,
went.
Oh, good point. That, yeah. Yeah. Good point.
Oh, yeah.
That,
that's true. He didn't bitch about the plates before the game.
No. All right, fair enough. So, yeah, usually.
And to be fair, that was also a different beast.
It was.
If you talked to people that were on that trip and you had to be, like, escorted into the hotel, not by a cop car, but with a Hummer with one of those massive machine guns on the back pointing in all directions at all time, different beast.
But Bill Belichick has been one of those no-excuses kind of guys as well, right, Andy?
Well, he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Not that long ago, he had I believe it was a couple weeks ago, he had a very strong take on excuses.
But for your feeling on knowing that they didn't want to fall back on that as an excuse, is that, did you spread that message at all, you know, going into that game, not looking for excuses? Because they would have been built in. I mean, you guys faced a lot in those couple days.
We never make excuses. We don't make excuses about anything. Period.
He just took a life.
Was there an ellipse?
Bill Belichick, confirmed killer.
He just killed a woman.
We never make excuses.
That was Bill after the Kansas City game.
All right. So
back
that was,
in the day of no excuses.
So that was because it was a same-day flight.
Right.
You have your backup quarterback who's awful, and that's a lot to put on a team.
And
but no excuses.
Yet they go out and lose to the Denver Broncos this week.
Yeah.
Pretty ugly game, right? Can we all agree?
Super ugly game.
God, it was awful.
Field goal fest, everything,
I said
turnovers.
Yesterday at halftime, I wanted to go out and rake leaves, and I live in a townhouse. I don't even have to rake my own leaves.
Yeah.
It's just I wanted to do anything to stop watching.
And ever since, all I've heard Bill Belichick really talk about is, you know, we didn't get to practice. Actually, it started in the broadcast, which tells me he bitched about it in the production meeting before the game.
100%.
To
Trent Green.
Trent Green and who was the other guy. All they said.
Trent Green!
You know, if they had more time to practice, they could do more, but you know, you got
to. We need to get on the field. We need to practice. We need to develop some continuity.
Does that feel like an excuse, Dale? Is that a Parcellian sort of give him an excuse?
It sort of feels like a bit of one.
And
yeah.
As you said,
he, now, by the way, I'm not saying he's wrong either.
No, he might be right, but there's lots of excuses. You know what else might be an excuse for this year? Losing Tom Brady, not having the best quarterback that's ever played the game, or, I don't know, David Andrews getting hurt, or the many, 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 many injuries over the years that anyone has asked about, and the first thing Bill has said is, next man up. You know, you got to play with the next guy.
Like I said, we all need to do more, practice more. And
so suddenly, he is just oozing excuses over the last 24 to 48 hours. He wants the entire world to know, in case you missed the broadcast, in case you missed every sports blog over the last 2 weeks, that the Patriots didn't really get to practice.
We're talking about practice.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. Some of those were league-mandated absences from the practice field. What were others?
Team. Belichick's decision.
In fact, we heard that the Patriots were taking the bull by the horns themselves, that there were times they didn't practice where the league would have allowed them to if they
wanted. Friday before the originally scheduled game, it was the league said, you guys are open. You were shut
down
Wednesday, Thursday.
And by the way,
again,
I'm not saying he was wrong. No. I think his players were on the verge of revolt if he had practiced that day.
But you wonder how much is their head in the actual football season.
And
they seem to be so worried about COVID. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be worried about COVID. But guess what? 31 other teams have the same issues to work with. Some of it had it in their locker rooms. Others haven't to this point. But it doesn't mean it's not on their mind at some level. But I just think the Tennessee Titans made the Patriots look bad twice.
Yes.
One, they played a game when the Patriots decided they wanted to postpone it. And not only did they play it with barely any practices, I know a rogue practice, but with no real practices, and they spanked the Bills in primetime. And then on a short week, they come back. They certainly didn't spank the Texans, but they had enough to pull out an overtime victory, and they're undefeated, and nobody has been hit harder by COVID than the Titans.
So the Titans are the new Patriots.
They have no excuses.
They push the limits of the rules.
And
they have no excuses. They have a coach that likes to bat around the guy on the other sideline like
that,
a pinata
also,
with tricky, tricky, tricky stuff.
For out of the Patriots playbook, it is now them versus the world. Even though they were the ones that all got COVID and they were the ones that spread it throughout the team, they're like, but everybody was saying stuff about us and they were threatening to take away a draft pick and they were doing this and they were blaming us and people wanted us banished from the league. So now the Titans have a chip on their shoulder. They also have a lot of talent and a really good coach. And they are, maybe they've become the Patriots.
Meanwhile, Bill Belichick is saying,
we need more practice.
We need more practice. It'd be nice if we could just get out there and practice. See that offensive line? They've never practiced together. He told CBS at halftime, the excuse-making started at halftime. We got a line out there that's never practiced together. Wait, I thought you prepped for everything. And even if you didn't, it's always next man up.
No.
What was our first soundbite? I believe it was no excuses.
We never have excuses.
Period. Except
we
for
never
the last,
make excuses.
Well, to be fair, I do want to be fair here because I like to be fair. When he said that.
We call you fair.
When
fair
he
Andy.
Said that. A couple weeks ago, it was true back then.
It was true up
there. It's no longer
true,
so burn the tape, because that's no longer true. All they've done is make excuses for the last three. Actually, you know what?
What?
Remove it. Not everybody has made excuses. The two guys who've made a lot of excuses are Bill Belichick.
Yes.
I also heard Cam Newton make a lot of excuses. Oh, it's rusty, and without a doubt, I needed more practice time, and I couldn't do this, and I couldn't do that. Excuses. I once heard Tom Brady absolutely attack Marty Schottenheimer because Marty Schottenheimer had the audacity to acknowledge that the Patriots had a lot of injuries. And Tom Brady said, worry about your own team. We don't make excuses around here. Now suddenly...
He also made fun of John Harbaugh for not knowing the rules.
You know, he's a coach, so you know, I'm a player.
Right. Yeah. Now suddenly, Bill Belichick is on the top of the world like Will Ferrell and Anchorman, screaming to the top of his lungs.
I don't have a mountaintop, but I have a news desk.
You know what he has? Yeah. He has video calls, conference calls, and bloggers like me who he knows, I'll take this quote and I'll put it in my post-game analysis.
Yeah,
excuse 101.
But it also because they should have been able to beat, even with all of that, you should be able to beat the Denver Broncos, and you didn't. And
so,
it also sort of it shows the state of the team right now, which is maybe a little worse than I thought.
Can I take my take a step further?
Take your take a step further.
Because I have Developing theory here.
This could be an adjustable take.
You know why Bill Belichick wants you to know that practice was so important that they missed it, and the reason they lost is because they didn't have enough practice? Because Bill Belichick is the Patriots.
He is the brain.
We lost our advantage.
Thing.
I didn't get to be with my players this week. The reason we win in New England, I point with thumbs, not fingers. It's this guy right here, Bill Belichick.
It's
this
clearly is not a the talent this year.
This is a God complex ego thing.
God
he wants you to know.
Still,
I said to you,
complex.
You couldn't tell me the movie. Alec Baldwin, there's a famous line. He's a doctor, and somebody says, you have a God complex.
He's
and
a
he says,
doctor?
God complex. I am God.
Oh. You can't tell he doesn't work for the Patriots anymore, can you?
Yeah, I guess he's moving
I feel
on.
Like I could get
I don't
in
think
trouble
you'd write
for
that.
This one.
I don't think you'd write that one.
Stacey James 101. But no, I firm.
I do have a missed call from a number I don't recognize.
Uh-oh. I have it.
But I do firmly believe this is weird. Did this strike anybody else, this over-the-top, continued multiple times insistence that...
You're talking about the movie Malice, which came out in 1993. What the hell?
That's back
God
when I
pull is that?
That's back when I watched movies.
There you go. Yeah.
But did this not strike you, Dale? Did this not strike you when Bill kept saying, we need practice, we need to be together, that's how this will be fixed, we need practice?
I was a little surprised that he allowed that. I mean, what I fully expected was... We got to coach better.
Right.
We got to play better.
Right.
We weren't good enough
playbook.
In any phase of the game.
Right.
And you know, maybe he's actually felt this at other times in the past with losses. He just never shared it before.
Yeah, and it's not like it was a slip of the tongue once. There's been multiple examples over the last couple days. It's not, oh, geez, a little honesty slipped.
Because, you know, haven't played together much, haven't practiced together much, so...
But also, I feel like
again, true, but
yeah, it's always been true. Yeah. He has avoided the truth at all costs for 20 years. Suddenly, we're acknowledging the truth and we're giving the team an excuse as to why it lost.
I save that drop.
Like you could have played that game a week earlier, and then you would have had a real bye week. And even if you had the same thing happen with James Ferentz and some others, maybe you shut it down a little bit. But now you're not playing this week, and you have full practice time for the next week. And guess what? You still lost to the Broncos anyway. And maybe you would have had just as good of a chance the week before.
Do we not have the Alec Baldwin drop?
No. Nobody has that.
1993, they didn't drop.
Yeah, no, I just have that ready.
It was like a made-for-TV movie.
Nobody has that. No, it wasn't. It was a real movie, wasn't it?
I've never heard of it.
Oh, well, I know movies.
I have other movie drops. I don't know that one, though.
I go a little
Do
deeper
you have,
than most.
Dolphin sound?
He's always
you know
got
what that
that
sound means?
At the ready.
You know what that sound means?
It means that means news
that's
is coming
right.
up.
Breaking news as it relates to the Miami Dolphins.
Really?
And, yeah. and we'll give it to you coming up next. Dale and Keefe with Heart Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale, hold my beer. Keith.
You have a bath of a bird.
Andy Hart.
If you're banking everything that N'Keal Healthy is Harry
on WEEI.
Neither him nor Tua. So we obviously know Joe Burrow's going to go number one, and then there's Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, have we got bad news for Wiggy.
Oh, there it is. You know what that means, Dale.
It means it's the only button John can find on that vast machine that he's got in there.
It's relevant.
It matters this time, Rich.
It makes sense. QB change. We were wondering what week it would be. Would it be, I thought, certainly by the time they played the Patriots again, which is week 15. But the Ryan Fitzpatrick era with Miami this go around is at least on pause. It could always come back.
Yes.
There's always a chance it comes back. But starting next week, it is going to be Tua Tagovailoa, the number 5 pick in this past draft, will be the starting quarterback now for the Broncos. So they are on the bye week this week, and then they play the Rams at home in week 8. So that'll be Tua's first start.
Headlines all across Miami tomorrow.
Yeah.
Dolphins take Tua.
They are 3-3.
See what
so
I
kind of wondered, you know, with Fitzpatrick, you're 3-3.
Yeah, it's
you're
a little weird, no?
It is a little weird. The Patriots are 2-3. The Bills are 4-2. The extra wild card team, Fitzpatrick's been fine. He's been Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
He's been exactly what you anticipate. Some really good plays, some dumb stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the highlights and some of the watching. He appears to have the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes relationship with Tua.
Oh,
they
he loves
like,
Tua.
Love each other. Yeah, they run and, you know, chest bump and hug and go crazy
but
after
the thing
touchdowns.
Is, but Alex Smith had the job the whole year, and then Mahomes took over.
Well,
whereas Fitzpatrick
thought
not,
he was
going to
have
the
job.
But yeah, you're going
to see Tua. He knew the minute Tua was drafted that his days were numbered as a starting quarterback.
I don't know that he knew that it was going to be in October.
Oh, I don't know what month, but he knew it was going to be
he
this
probably
season.
Said, hey,
well,
the guy's got a bad hip. So.
It's actually November 1st. It's technically the week 8
first,
game.
So it wasn't October.
So he was the starter for 2 months, and then you turn it over to Tua, but it's not a throwaway, let's see what Tua has season.
No.
It is we are in a playoff race here.
And you already saw another quarterback taken just after him, Justin Herbert, come out and
Burrow
slinging it all over the field. And
yeah, good point. Both of those guys look pretty good.
And this has kind of become the norm, basically.
Oh,
that
I thought if it wasn't for his hip injury, maybe he starts week 1.
Right. So I don't think it's all that surprising, other than the fact that the Dolphins are competitive.
Yes.
So you're pulling a guy who has led a team that is
ahead of the Patriots in the AFC East, right? Like,
yeah,
they are.
Technically, they are.
So that makes it a little weird. That's the only why rush it. Why rush Tua out there if you're kind of...
Maybe the limited practice time they've had, they're like, are this guy's clearly ready?
Ooh, limited practice time.
Don't get started on that. Well, that's everybody's thing. But you know what I was looking at? And now, a lot has to happen for this to take place, but for 20 years, the Patriots had a quarterback, and the rest of the AFC East didn't.
It was a jumble.
Yes. You saw, you know, Tannehill gave some stability for the Dolphins, but he wasn't as good as he is now. Obviously, coaching a huge part of that, but... He at least started. Chad Pennington is legit the next best quarterback.
Yeah.
And he did it with both Miami and the Jets. It's been just a barren wasteland. The way things are trending, though, you could have Tua with Miami, Josh Allen with Buffalo. And
Jets,
maybe
who knows?
Trevor Lawrence, Dale.
Yeah, I mean, the way they are right now,
if they go
0-16,
yes, the division could have Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick, Tua, the number five pick, and I think was Josh Allen number seven. Either way, it's top 10 pick.
Top 10 pick.
So three top 10 picks. And this offseason, you're going into Cam Newton's a free agent. Is it him? Is it somebody else? Are you going to go into the draft class we're going to do? And I'm not saying that Bill won't be able to find somebody, but it's kind of interesting to see the rest of the AFC East maybe finally, once Brady left, finding their quarterbacks.
And I don't feel confident that you're going to be in a rush to re-sign Cam Newton. Just the holes in his game become more apparent when you get an opportunity to see him more.
Yeah.
You know, and as Andy said earlier, you're a 10-year NFL vet. Chances are we're not fixing your throwing motion here.
Right. No. Now,
but it once again comes down to the alternative. And what is it?
Jared Stidham.
What are the right? I'll try Cam again.
Or who you draft. Else.
Well, it depends how many games you lose, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the other thing is you say, are you going to use a real draft pick? The last time you used, and I mean real, day one, day two.
Right, right.
You know, Stidham was early day three. So if you're talking about day one, day two, like where you took Jimmy Garoppolo, then, all right, maybe that is your guy. Maybe you're going to develop him. And maybe you, like so many other teams around the league, have to toss a rookie out there. It's really not the end of the world. Guys have done really well. Even guys that got beat around for 1 year have bounced back and had Hall of Fame careers. So maybe that's the path that you end up taking.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, by the way, we've heard from the Patriots quarterback today, or at least his social media team.
Oh, boy.
On Instagram, a couple of pictures of Cam's very fetching outfit for this past Sunday's game. And the copy says, tables turn, bridges burn, you live and learn. Yes, he's quoting Drake.
Hmm.
Hashtag trust the process. Hashtag shine through the shade.
Shine?
No, he didn't say shine, but he should have.
Not shine through the
shade. Shine, yeah.
Okay.
Hashtag not just for likes,
yeah,
just for life.
Just for life, not for likes. Good. Ugh. All right, so he's back. Should be fine. Was it in his font too, Dale? Were you able to decipher the font?
It took me a while to sift through all of it.
Well done, Dale. Yeah. That must have been difficult.
I was going to say, I can't read the font.
He can't read the defense.
Oh, jeez.
That felt like a cheap shot.
Drop that.
Drop that.
That
was just nasty.
He struggled the other day. He held onto the ball. Bro,
he was at this is a monster game. And that's the thing with and we knew going into this season that unlike previous years where they're going to go 12-4. I don't know where all the losses are going to be. They're going to be a bad team, a good team, whatever, but they're going to go 12-4 more often than not. This was a year where outside of say the Jets games and then maybe on the other extreme Kansas City, Seattle, they're all kind of toss-ups. All of them. And so how does Cam respond to
Baltimore.
His worst game? Baltimore also a loss, I would say.
Well, but my point is, you have 3. Correct.
3 automatic losses.
Well, no. You have 3 already real losses.
Yeah, but 2 of them were to two of the best teams.
4th on the horizon.
Yeah.
So we're already tiptoeing into, you're already guaranteed to lose as many games as you normally lose. For people that thought this was still going to be an 11-12 win.
No. Nobody thought 11 or 12 anymore. 10.
Yeah, anymore. Once they have 3 losses, obviously you're going to change your prediction.
At the beginning of the year, I was as high on the Patriots as anybody, and I said 10.
I think Ryan Hannibal was higher.
All right.
I think he had 11 and in the AFC title game. That's where he's like you.
Ryan Hannabee or whatever.
His name, Greg. It's hurt.
You're getting a dog.
The best part of that clip, actually, is that Wiggy knew who he was. Greg did it, and Wiggy did.
Well, that's because at the Super Bowl, if you recall, Wiggy took the video of you, Bradfo, and Ryan, and he introduced you and Bradfo, and then turned to Ryan and was like, what's your name, man?
I didn't know that.
It's in the open for the off-day podcast.
But he remembered it, though.
It was.
But how about that?
A quick political note before we get back to our...
No,
a quick political note here. There's a voting season rally tonight. It is hosted by Mayor Pete Buttigieg. It features Nelly Hurtado, Texas House of Representatives, Amy Steele, North Carolina House.
I love her.
Her, Tato.
She's great.
Yeah.
Ricky Junquera.
She's like a bird.
Florida House.
Want to fly away.
And Brad Stevens.
Oh, Coach Brad.
Get in there, Brad.
NBA Buttigieg.
I was going to say, he looks exactly like Buttigieg.
It's like they were trying. They were saying, look, we might as well bring him in. Everybody confuses us anyway.
He's probably a foot taller than him, though, I bet.
Oh, God, he's got
this isn't about zones. And
is that Pete?
No, that was when Brad was making
this
excuses.
Isn't about zoning.
So he's talking zoning properties. Yeah.
Zoning, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
So apparently Mayor Pete was bringing in representatives that he has endorsed for election, and Brad.
The big guns. Brad Stevens. They're gonna bill him as former Butler coach.
I was thinking they would do that.
Oh, yeah.
Final four coach, back-to-back
year. What have you been up to these days?
Yeah, not much. Dying to get back into the college game.
617-779-7937. The Buffalo Bills did Bills things last night. We'll talk about that in the AFC East, which may look a little different now that there's a quarterback change in Miami as well. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, and we've got Kiefer Madness at the bottom of the hour here on Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.